There are note papers in the back if somebody wants to grab those and pass them out. This message is actually a two-part message. In a couple weeks, I'll preach the other part. The first part here this morning is about Father's love. The overall aspect is sons of God. It comes out of 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. I'd like to read those from the Living Bible. See how very much our Heavenly Father loves us, for He allows us to be called His children. Think of it. And we really are. But since most people don't know God, naturally, they don't understand that we are His children. Yes, dear friends, we're already God's children right now. And we can't even imagine what it's going to be later on. But we know this, and when He comes, we'll be like Him as a result of seeing Him as He really is. I'd just like to add one note to what Landon said. He didn't tell us that where he's going is in the Rocky Mountains. In the Rocky Mountains. In the mountains. Not at the edge of them. He's in the mountains. There's two roads that go two ways you can come around to where he's going. And a week ago, the one road was still snowed shut. They're both gravel roads. So they're going to be out in the mountains all week long on their own. And so just, yeah, especially pray for the guys as they're out there. It's going to be a good time, but it's going to be a stretching time. They're going to learn a lot, but they're going to feel stretched. This morning I want to talk to us about Father's love. And in the South, we had a thing when I was young. You go around and you say to somebody, "Who's your daddy? Who's your daddy?" Well, this morning, I'd like to ask you, who's your daddy? Who is he? I'm talking about spiritually, yeah. He's God, but who is that? Who is he? Is he someone personal? Is he someone that loves you and cares for you? Is he someone that you fear? Is he someone that, just all kinds of things we can think about. As we think about that, how do you think that God sees you? When God looks at you today, what does He see? How does He see you? What you answer to that tells a lot about who your daddy is. That's an important question for us, because that affects our lives in so many ways. We don't even have a clue. And I'm not going into this morning, but a lot of this comes as a result of who our dad was and how he related to us and how we, our relationship with him. But I'm not going into that this morning. But I want us to think about how that affects our life. How do we live our life? So how does God really see you? Do you think we can know? I'm not talking about how I think he sees me. I'm talking about how he really sees me. Well, probably the best way to look into that is to ask him about it. And that's what we want to do this morning. And then how does that affect our life? Now, which represents truth? How God sees me or how I think he sees me? Which one is the truth? How he actually sees me. Which one do we live by? So if we're living by how we think he sees us, and that's different from how he actually sees us, then we're living by a lie, a misunderstanding, something that's not quite the way it is. And it's important for us to adjust what we think to what is real, what's reality. The reality is how he sees us, how he sees me. Now, I'm going to go through a bunch of stuff pretty quickly here, but I want us to get a flow. I want us to get something here that is very clear from scriptures. Now, I am not going to these scriptures and trying to lay out each scripture and all the details that are connected there. What I'm looking for in these scriptures is a theme. Something that helps us to understand how God sees us. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, he says this, I will be a father to you, and you'll be my sons and daughters. How does that sound to you? God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth and all things, says, I'm going to be your father. You're going to be my sons and daughters. That's pretty amazing. That's just phenomenal, incredible. Here at some point, I want to preach a message on the prodigal son, Luke 15. But one of the things that is there that's so important in that story is the love of the father. The father had two sons, the prodigal son and the dishonoring son. Now, I don't have time to get into all that, but if in Jewish culture, the elder son dishonored his father the same as the younger son. Not in the same way, but he was just as dishonoring. The father loved both of those sons. They were his sons. When the prodigal came home, he said, this is my son. I'm his father. He was lost. He was dead. He was gone. But he's alive. And I'm his father. And his son had this idea he was going to come back and be a servant. He said, no. You're not a servant. You're a son. That's a pretty amazing story. The picture is our Heavenly Father. We need to learn from our Father. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, the Lord told the children of Israel, I did not put my love on you because. And I think we can take that and bring it to us. He did not love us because we did this or didn't do that. What does John say? We love him because he first loved us. He goes on to say, the reason that you are chosen by God is because of the fact that God loved you. That was to the children of Israel. We'll see that also comes to us as well. We have not impressed God in any way to cause him to take us as sons and daughters. That only happens through Christ. And we need to continually remind ourselves of that and appreciate that truth. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, John writes a lot about love. And the love that John was talking about was love that he had received from the Father through Jesus Christ while Jesus was here on earth. And so he says, we have known, that's in an experiential way. That's not a knowledge way. That's an experiential relationship way. We have known and received the love of the Father. God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God and God in him. Are you living in love today? Are you living in love? If not, it's not the Father's fault. In fact, it may be that you're living in how you see things rather than how he sees things. Maybe there's a lie that you need to get rid of. Maybe there's an adjustment that you need to make in how you see things. If you are a child of God, he loves you. End of sentence. Period, period. So here's some of the things God does. He's watching. He sees what's going on. He sees what you do in secret. He's going to reward you openly. He's got things all worked out here. One day he is going to say, here's my son. Look at what he did. You know, it's kind of interesting. You get these old guys and their sons start coming around and they start bragging to their buddies. This is my son. He owns this company and he does this and this one does this and whatever. That's kind of the picture I get here. God, the Father, is going to brag on his children. This is my son. Look what he did. He did that with Jesus Christ, didn't he? This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. What more open thing could God do of reward? Can you imagine? You walk into the gates of heaven and the Father stands there in front of everybody and he said, this is my Son. I'm pleased. I'm pleased with him. I'm well pleased. He's going to reward us openly for what we have done in secret. He knows our needs. You know why? Have you ever thought about this? You know why God knows what we need? Is it just because he's so smart? He made us. Why else? He knows us. Why else? Okay, he gives us all the way. Get to that. He cares about us. We're important to him. It's not just that he did make us, he knows us, all of those things are true. But the reason that he knows our needs is because he cares about us. We matter to him. Excuse me. Your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. He looks down. He knows and he cares. He's a good, good Father. Not only does he know our needs, but he knows them before we even ask. Your Father knows your needs before you even ask him. Well, that's a good Father, isn't it? That's a Father that loves and cares and that's connected. Is that the Father that you have today? the Heavenly Father that you have. He knows your needs before you even ask. He understands them. He's looking out for them. He's got you covered. He's got your back. Is that the kind of Father that you have today? If not, you may be living in what you see as Father and not in who Father really is. I think that is so important for us to actually see who God says He is. Our Heavenly Father forgives. You know what? If He did not forgive, none of us would have a chance at all. He forgives. Now, not only are we looking at who our Heavenly Father is, but we're learning. I'm a father. What do I do with what I've received? Do I give it? Do I share it? Am I as concerned about my children as He is about His? Our Heavenly Father actually speaks through us. As His children, it's His desire, it's His plan to speak through us. Matthew 10:20. It's not you that speak. It's your Father, the Spirit of your Father that speaks in you. So God, in His love, in His concern, His care for His children, wants to speak through us. What do you think God wants to speak through you? Criticism, condemnation, gossip, fault finding, blame, accusation. You think God wants to speak those things through you? You know what He wants to speak? He wants to speak who He is through you. Philip came to Jesus and he said, "Jesus, we want to see the Father." Jesus said, "Philip, have I been with you all this time and you haven't seen the Father? If you see me, you've seen the Father." You know what? That's what He wants to do through us. He wants people to see Him through us. And so He's speaking through us. His love is shed abroad in our hearts. Excuse me. The Heavenly Father gives His Holy Spirit. This is just a side note, kind of interesting to me. I'm reading in the book of Acts right now. And in the beginning of the book of Acts, Jesus breathed on His disciples and He said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." Then He went back to heaven and the Holy Spirit came and they were filled with the Spirit. And later on they were filled with the Spirit again. God gives His Holy Spirit as a gift. And He's anxious to give us good gifts. You know, as fathers, today's Father's Day, and we like our children to express appreciation for what we've given them. That's the biggest blessing that we can receive, at least for me, on Father's Day, is my children expressing what they've received from me as good things. Now, as a father, I didn't always know how to give good gifts. But our Father always knows how to give good gifts. And He's always anxious to give us the best gift. That's Himself through the Holy Spirit. He's always anxious to do that. And so all we have to do is ask. And He's ready to do that. You and I will also, as sons and daughters, receive an inheritance from the Father. And I mentioned this a little bit not too long ago in Sunday school, and I think I mentioned it when I talked about Colossians a few weeks ago. One of the things Paul prays for in the first chapter of Ephesians, he prays for three things for the believers. One of the things he prays for is that we might know the riches of his inheritance. Now, who's your daddy? Is your daddy a pauper? He's not going to leave you anything? Has nothing to leave you? Or is your father the God of heaven and earth, and you are going to receive inheritance with Jesus Christ? That's incredible. And so Paul says, I'm praying that you can know the riches of his inheritance. Excuse me. Now, be careful here, because you can get confused. The Father condemns no one. This is from John chapter 5, verse 22. The Father judgeth, condemns or damns no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. If you go on over into 1 John, I believe it is, he talks about God judging. And it's the same word. So on one hand, he says God doesn't judge. On another hand, he says he does judge. Here's what I want us to take from this. As children of the Heavenly Father, he is not in a condemning mode with his children. We have to understand that. If we look at the Heavenly Father as being in a condemnation mode toward, a judgment mode toward us as his children, we'll never receive the love that he wants to offer us, that he intends for us to receive. Now, Just take that and understand it properly. I'm not saying that there is no judgment, that no one will face judgment. That's not what I'm saying. The Father shows us, through Jesus Christ, how to live loved. John chapter 15, verse 9. This is what Jesus says. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. You see what's happening? Jesus was living loved. Every day of his life, he knew that he was loved by his Father. And we receive the Father's love through Jesus Christ. That's why he's saying you continue in that love. And we can live loved as well. What difference does it make in your life if you live loved or unloved? I think most of us can answer that. It's pretty big. Pretty vast difference in how we live. If we know that we are loved, it motivates us, it encourages us, it changes our attitude, it changes our outlook, it changes how the bad things that happen through the day, how they affect us. If we live unloved, all those things happen too, but altogether differently. We, as God's children, need to live loved. Doesn't matter what people might say or do. It's what the Father says about us. Our Father is continually handing out grace, mercy, and peace. I find it interesting, fascinating, that the Apostle Paul, in almost all of his letters, starts with this greeting. Not always all the words, but this greeting. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father to you. Who's your daddy? Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father to you. He is continually handing those things out. That's who he is. Exodus 34, 5 and 6. I am the Lord God, merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and forgiving transgressions and iniquity and sin. I'm your father. He's a comforter. One of the things that often happens in our childhood is we learn that mother is our comforter. You know, we go out and we're playing out there as a little kid and we stub our toe or we skin our ankle or our knee or whatever, and we go running to mom because mom will hug us and kiss us and put a band-aid on. We run to dad and he says, it ain't that bad. You'll get over it. But not our father. Our father is a comforter. He's the God of all comfort. We can run to him whenever anything painful happens to us. And he is going to be there to comfort us. And he says he comforts us in all our difficulties, all our tribulations, all that bad stuff that comes. He's there to comfort us. Let me ask you something. Is it possible or impossible or very difficult for you to picture yourself and shut your eyes, picture yourself leaning your head on Father's shoulder and crying, and he's got his arms around you and he says, it's okay, my child. Can you picture that? That's your father. That's what he wants. That's what he does. Anything you believe less than that is not the truth. The God of all comfort is our Father, and he is there to comfort us in all of our tribulations. Grab hold of that truth. Now, come on. As part of the family, you and I have free access to the Father. Now, when we lived in our homes, there were maybe some limitations as to when we could approach our dad. Maybe it wasn't even possible at times. But he says in Ephesians, through him, he's talking about Christ, we both, Jews and Gentiles, have access to the Father through the Spirit, one Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit, we have access to the Father. We are not strangers and foreigners. We are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. You know what that means? That means we're sons and daughters. We have access to the Father. And Hebrews tells us, 4:16, come boldly to the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We can come with confidence to the Father because he cares about us. He loves us. And so we don't have to come timidly, and it's not like Esther going to Ahasuerus, where if he doesn't like us showing up, he cuts your head off. He has to hold out the scepter or you're done. No, he invites us to continually come into his presence. We have access. We have access. You know, there's places you go, if you go into offices, government buildings, whatever, it says limited access. Limited access. You know what that means? It means you have to have a special permission, a special pass to get beyond that. In Father's house, there's no limited access. We have access. He's our Father. He wants us to come. He invites us to come. And that access is there 24/7, 365, for all of his children. The whole family. He directs us. One of the things Paul was very conscious of was the direction of the Father. Father, what shall I do? And he'd direct him. You know, he wanted to go over here. And the Spirit said, no, not there. You need to go over here. The Father was directing him because his desire was for the Lord's will to be done, for his kingdom to come here on earth, just like it is in heaven. And if that's our desire, then he's going to direct us. One of the prayers Sherry and I have started praying most every day is, Father, show us the way. Show us the way. What do you want us to do today? What are we supposed to be doing? Show us the way. I think that's an important prayer because it's an expression of commitment, an expression of love to our Father. And he loves to do that for us. He corrects us. As a father, he's not going to stand back and let us just do something stupid and have no consequences. He's going to correct us. That's his love. That's his care. He wants us to be what he planned for us. And so we need to rejoice in that. We need to be thankful in that. That he is a father that corrects us. He's a father that gifts us so that we manifest him. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but this is an important thing. James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, comes down from the Father of lights. Light is something that shines or manifests. So it's coming down from the one that is manifesting. With whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So he's giving us a gift. We know the scripture from the Sermon on the Mount, you're the light of the world. So we're here to manifest the gift that he's given us to those around us. So that he receives glory. That's part of who he is, and that's part of his love that he cares about. That's why he's giving us these gifts. Not only does he love us, but he loves the whole world. We're called, washed, and kept by the Father. Jude, the first couple verses of the book of Jude, one chapter there. Here's what he says. To them that are sanctified, that's washed, and preserved, that's kept, and called, mercy to you and peace and love be multiplied. Our Father is interested in those aspects in our lives. And he's the one that does all of that. He calls us, he washes us, and he keeps us. I'm praying today that you know the Father's love. I'm concerned. I'm deeply concerned because I hear things that tell me there's people among us that do not know what it is to be loved by the Father. And I want us to see who He is, how He sees us, how He loves us as His sons and daughters. Because when we live loved, it changes our lives. It totally changes our lives. One of the things, this is just kind of off the side real quick. One of the things that often happens when Muslims see a vision of Jesus, there's two things that stand out to them. One of them is the love in His eyes. The other is the peace that they feel in His presence. And I find that fascinating. And I think that that's something that He desires for us. What do I see? Do I see the love in His eyes for me? Do I feel peace in His presence? Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father. Let's stand together for prayer. Father, we've looked into Your Word today, and we've seen Your love. We've seen a lot of aspects of how You want to minister to our hearts, to our lives. You want us as Your sons and daughters to know peace and love and mercy and grace and blessing and fullness and overflowing. You want us to show that love to others so that they also want to be part of the family. And we ask You to work that in our hearts today. Show us any places, Lord, where we've believed lies. We've looked at how we see ourselves because of our own failures, maybe because of our father's failures, for whatever other reasons. We've looked at those lies and the way we see ourselves rather than how You see us. And we pray, Father, that You help us to turn our hearts toward the truth, toward light, and receive it and live loved. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. You're